jumping around. Sometimes he puts the flower this side, sometimes this side. And he's playing on the flute, learning Radhara Sudhaya. And the cowherd boys are singing with glory. And this is how he's entering in Vrindavan. That is one verse. Another verse is from third canto. It is spoken by Uddhava, which describes his mercy on Putana. That although Putana came to kill Krishna, but Krishna actually gave her the post of a mother, and then he says, Kamva Dayalam Saranam Rajini. Who else is more merciful than that? That somebody is coming to kill and he is giving such a high post to her. Yeah. Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam. Jighan Sayapya Payat Asadhi. But she came with a desire to kill Jighansaya Asadhi. But still Lord gave her liberation, not only liberation but more than liberation. Kamla Dayalam Sanam. Who is more merciful? So when Sukhdev Goswami heard this verse, he could not understand. Because as a follower of impersonalism, he could not understand that who can be so merciful and why. Because impersonalist people, they want to run away from everything. So these are some of the verses. Yes.
In the second part of this, the expression old sins in this world,
this verse which was quoted above, the prayer of Sukhdev Goswami, I bow down to the son of Vyasa, the destroyer of all sins. But after that he was Brahmanistam when he came out. He was also Brahmanistam inside, but still he was afraid of Maya. When you are in this material world, better fear Maya, you may be Brahmanistam. Even the Brahmavadis can fall if you are in this material world. Because Krishna gave him the guarantee that he will not be touched by my Maya. That's what I said. That Vyasadeva went and called Lord Krishna, because he told that I will not come out unless I am given guarantee by Krishna that I will not be caught by his mind.
That means that he could recognize Krishna yet again
before. Yes, very much. But still he was attached to impersonalism. You see, impersonal people, they also recognize Krishna, but their faith is in impersonalism. It's not that they don't know Krishna, but they like that. Madhusudan Saraswati says, Krishna parataram kimati tattvam aham na jane. I don't know anything higher than Krishna. And then he speaks about impersonalism all the time.
What?
But his liking is to that. There are people who accept many things, but still they have their liking. They will say, anyway, I understand that this is superior, but actually I like this.
Then if they think that personal
philosophy is good? No, they have liking for that, and then they say that, for me this is superior. As far as I'm concerned.
That book, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I remember well, he talked to Madhusudan Saraswati, and he said that in the beginning he was the Mayavadi. Towards the end of his life, he became a devotee of Krishna.
Never.
Not true.
So he was a Mayavadi, Mayavadi, and staunch Mayavadi.
Wrong.
Yes. He would have become, if he met Lord Chaitanya. He actually went to Navdeep to meet Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya has defeated Kesav Kasmiri. Then this news spread. You can imagine this news would have gone all over India. This was not a small incident. So this news also came to Banaras. Swadang Madhusudan Saraswati was very curious to meet Lord Chaitanya, because originally he was from Bengal, and to begin with he was not such a staunch Mayavadi. But when he came to Banaras, he became Mayavadi. But still he wanted to go and meet Lord Chaitanya. But when he went to Bengal, Lord Chaitanya had already taken sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri. So he didn't have money to buy the ticket for Jagannath Puri. He came back to Banaras. He had the return ticket. And he remained impersonal. Well, he didn't meet him. Definitely. He might be somewhere else. It's not they always remain in one place. He also, Madhusudan Saraswati also lived in Vrindavan for some time. He had leaning towards devotion. And he had composed beautiful prayers about Krishna. But ultimately, his faith, that's how you have to see where is the faith. It's like Sridhar Swami also writes impersonal statements. But where is his faith? Madhusudan Saraswati writes so many nice prayers. In fact, he says, this is a very common sloka you will hear here in Vrindavan, in which he says that I don't know anything higher than Krishna. This is the highest truth. And this is found in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita in his commentary, right? But then he goes to the 13th chapter and he freaks out again on impersonalism. So that means his fate is not fixed. And history or the story is there that actually he has direct vision of Krishna. There is some story about him. He performed some anusthan 18 times and finally he got darshan of Krishna. He still remained impersonalist. Because impersonal realization cannot occur without the help of devotion. So they take help from devotion. They accept, but that is their goal. That's where they want to go.
You said that there was an allegation that Madhvacharya wrote a lot of manufactured verses.
Yeah.
Was that ever defeated by the followers?
Well, these books are not available. These are some of the books Jiva Goswami mentions. And he says that these verses are found in these scriptures, but the scriptures are not found, so there is no way to refute.
But the verses which he's quoting are directly
from Madhvacharya's books.
Yeah.
So the same allegation also goes here if you want to apply. Because the verses are, the books, original books are not available.
But those books by Martha Gurida or anything like that, those are just.
No. Original. In his books he quotes many other literatures. And Jiva Goswami is taking those quotations. Not his composition.
Example given by the person is themselves that how they can think of this idea. They say that like everybody knows that smoking is injurious to them, but they
keep on. By logic you can prove anything.
Yes.
There's no lack of logic. All means that you have to sit down and think quietly. Logic and examples, they are unlimited. But you have to see what scripture says. Sukhdev Goswami is not agreeing to that fact. All right, so tomorrow is the test day. Pranaya Krishna Prasthad Bhutale Srimatai Bhakti Vananda Swami Pinamma Namaste Saraswat Deva Gauravani Kusarana Devi Sarasya Sanyavadi Vastrata Deshkarana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Galadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama. So in the previous class we had a discussion about Sukhdev Goswami's faith to understand the purpose and the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he is the first speaker, and if we are able to understand his mood and his nistha from which he is speaking, then it is very easy to understand his words. So, just as there are sometimes impersonally they also may speak about Krishna, but because we know their nistha is somewhere else, so their words have different meaning. But when a devotee speaks about Krishna, then his meaning is different. Although both speak similarly. Now in this section number 30, Jiva Swami is going to analyze the trance which was realized by Vyasadeva before he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. He was ordered by Narada Muni that he should sit down and experience everything and then compile. So this trance is actually the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. But this is what he realized, and then after realizing he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you can understand the meaning of the verses which explain his samadhi or trance, then it will become very clear whether he is trying to establish Brahman or Bhagavan. Because mainly these two are the objects which are established by various philosophers. Either they try to establish Bhagavan or Brahman as the ultimate reality. Brahman says here, Sutta Goswami gives a similar concise explanation of the import of the Bhagavata, this time in terms of the samadhi experienced by its author. That is Vyasadeva. Wherein the principle which was to be set forth in that work was ascertained. Because this samadhi is the seed for Srimad Bhagavatam. And these are basically five verses, or actually four verses, which explain the whole thing. And they are quoted here. With his heart purified and perfectly poised through Bhakti Yoga, he saw the Purna Purusha with Maya taking his shelter. The Jiva, deluded by that Maya, considers himself to be composed of the three gunas. By really beyond them, and consequently comes to grief, Vyasa composed this Sattva Samhita for those people ignorant of the fact that Bhakti Yoga directed toward Adhokshaja, Krishna, directly puts an end to the grief. If one but hears this Sattva Samhita, that is Bhagavatam, devotion for Krishna, the Supreme Purusha, will grow in him, putting an end to grief, delusion and fear. After composing and arranging this Bhagavati Samhita, Vyasa taught it to his son, Sukadeva Goswami, then leading a life of renunciation. So this is the essence which was realized by Vyasadeva, and this forms the foundation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sukadeva Goswami will spend now almost about 17 sections just trying to analyze this trance of Srila Vyasa. Actually about 19, up to 49 sections he goes on discussing this meditation of Srila Vyasa. Because this is very important, and all the essential features of our philosophy are explained in this verse. And this is actually one of the very strong way to refute the impersonal philosophy of those who give impersonal conclusions from Bhagavatam. They should understand this. So we can understand a book in various different ways, but really speaking, the best understanding is when it is understood from the point of view of the writer. So Jiva Goswami is actually now trying to enter into the heart of Srila Vyasadeva and reveal what is hidden inside them. And once we understand that, then it will become very easy to ascertain the rest of the book. Otherwise what happens that other philosophers have written books and they write thick volumes and they go into such deep analysis and logic of the words just trying to refute the other's philosophy. And still, they cannot achieve that goal very perfectly, because when somebody else comes and gives another logic, Tarko Apratisthana, ultimately logic does not have a firm stance, because it changes from person to person. But this style which is used by Guru Goswami, nobody can pinpoint and give that to him, because he is not giving his opinion. He is giving the opinion of Srila Vyasadeva, the experience of Srila Vyasadeva. At this point, Swamata asked, but why did the sage Sukha, when leading a life of renunciation, being unconcerned in all situations and rejoicing in the self alone, study this vast composition? So when Sukha Goswami explained about the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he said that Srila Vyasa, he taught this to Sukhadeva Goswami, who was Nivrittam Nirtam Muni, who was completely attached to renunciation. So then logically the question comes, why he studied? Because a person who is renounced, especially impersonalist people, they have in their philosophy, for them even literature has a limit up to which it is utilized, and after that it is given up. So the natural question is that if Sukhdev Goswami was already situated on that platform, already he was Nirvanta, Nirvanta Devata, means highly renounced. So why should he study? Because he has already achieved the goal of study. And this is a very important question, because it brings out a very essential feature of our philosophy. So he said, in reply to Swamaka's query, Sutta said, all the such sages rejoice in the self alone and are free from all bounds. Still they cherish motiveless devotion for Urukrama, Krishna. Indeed, such are virtues of Hari. The venerable son of Vyasa had his heart captivated by the virtues of Hari and studied this great narrative daily, holding the devotees of Vishnu dear to his heart. So Sukha Goswami spoke two verses in answer to the question raised by Swamaka, and these are very important verses. The first verse is the famous Atmaram verse, which was very nicely explained by Lord Chaitanya to Swarbham Bhattacharya and then later to Sanatana Goswami. And the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's explanation is that although he gave so many different explanations, but conclusion was one. Generally, you give different explanations of the same verse and you get different conclusions. Lord Chaitanya, he gave 61 explanations, but all concluded in devotional service unto Krishna. So, this answer given by Sukha Goswami is, first he gives a general reply, and then in the second verse, he gives a specific reply. First is a general rule he states, that although Atmaramas are those who are self-satisfied, and Atmarama can have so many meanings. So generally Atmarama is that who is completely satisfied within his own self. But Atma can also mean body, mind, intelligence, soul, so many things, possessions. So it includes actually all kinds of Atmaraman. Because somebody can say, well, I am also Atmaraman because I am satisfied with what I have and therefore I don't need to worship Krishna. But here, this Atmaraman includes everyone. Because in a sense, everyone is Atmaraman. Because everyone is taking some pleasure in whatever they are doing. And why they take pleasure? Because whatever they have, that is their Atma. They think this is me, or this is mine. And they take pleasure in it, so they are Atmarama in that circle. So whether Atma means soul, or it means anything gross, all kinds of Atmaramas, they all take pleasure in performing devotion to Lord Hari. But here the specific meaning is those people who are completely free from material bondage. We are talking about those Atma now. Because question was raised for such a person who was highly renowned. So, really speaking here, the word Atmarama is meaning to those who are impersonally realized, who are situated on Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanna Atma, not so set in a concept. So, Atmarama and Union Nirgrantha Atyarukrama, and they are Nirgrantha. They are completely beyond the bondage of material nature. Grantha means knot. So their heart is free from the knot. Grantha also means book. So it can also mean those who are beyond books, who are beyond rules and regulations of the literature. Means abhutas. Like Sukhdev Goswami. So even such people, they cherish closed Vasu service. Means even they are attracted. And what is the reason for their attraction? They are. Because they do not need anything, so why are they attracted? In this material world, whenever we perform some activity, there is some prayojana, some purpose behind it. We want something out of that activity. So why an Atmarama wants to perform devotional service? What is his need? So the verse says, Ahaisuki. More or less. Now the question comes, why will somebody perform an activity without any motive? Because even a foolish person does not do anything without a purpose. That may be different, that his purpose is foolish. So then it says that such indeed are the qualities of the Lord. Ittam Bhuta Guno Hari. It is just the qualities of the Lord, they are so wonderful that even people who do not have anything to achieve, they become attracted. And this is inconceivable by logic. So in this verse, he is explaining that how the qualities of the Lord are so wonderful that even those people who do not desire anything, they become attracted by him. That's why he is called Krishna. Because he attracts everyone. Even those who do not have any desire for any attraction, when they see Krishna, they feel attracted. And they don't know why. They cannot give any reason why they are feeling attracted to Krishna. Why? Because these are just the qualities of the Lord. That is his nature. And for nature we cannot give any logic. Why sugar is sweet? Well, that is the nature. And then in the next verse he gives the special case of Sukhdev Goswami. What happened to him? Why he became attracted to study Srimad Bhagavatam? And then he says that because his heart was attracted by the qualities of the Lord. Harel Akshita Mati Bhagavan Badarayana. His intelligence, his mind was captivated, possessed by the qualities of Lord Hari. And therefore, he studied this. Srimad Bhagavatam. Adhyayanam Bhayabhasanam Nityam Vishnu Janam. And then, he became Vishnu Janpriya. He became very dear to devotees. All devotees became very dear to him. Either way, he became Vishnu Janam. So, now he starts explaining this, these verses. In the first verse, it explains the trance of Vyasadeva, that is one sound for the word which is used is Bhakti Yogena. He says, Bhakti Yogena Mansi Sanyas Prani Hitaya Malay. That Vyasadeva, he sat down in meditation by Bhakti Yoga. All his heart was purified by Bhakti Yoga. So first is that his meditation was not an impersonal meditation. It was not a meditation of the super soul. Because we cannot perform devotional service to super soul. Devotional service can be performed only to Bhagavan. So Bhakti Yoga is Manasi. And his mind was completely purified. Pranihita Amalai. So, malevolence, disturbances of the mind. Just like when you sit down and you want to chant, then so many thoughts flow inside the mind. That will give you impurities of the mind. There are various types of impurities. That is, distraction, thinking of another object, or laziness, sleeping. All these are various types of vritti. There are various kinds of vritti which mind has, and these are all unwanted vritti when you go for meditation. So this Samyak Pranayama analogy, he meditated properly free from any impurities in his mind. And therefore Jindal commentary says that this word bhakti yoga means prema. The expression bhakti yoga na, through bhakti yoga means through prema or love of God. Why then? Why here bhakti yoga should mean prema and not sadhana bhakti? Because one can also meditate in sadhana bhakti. But why this word bhakti here specifically means prema bhakti and not sadhana bhakti? So the reason is that in the same line he says that after meditation he saw Lord Krishna, apashyat purusham punam mayam tatadapatra, and he saw Krishna. So Krishna cannot be seen by sadhana bhakti, only by prema bhakti. In natural devotion, Rupa Goswami had explained six characteristics of devotion right in the beginning. And one of the characteristics he said is Krishna Akarshini Prasa, Sandhananda Vishesha Atma, Krishna Akarshini Prasa. That is when complete bliss and attracts even Krishna. So it is that attracting, these two qualities are belonging to prema bhakti. Out of these six characteristics, first two belong to sadhana bhakti, next two belong to bhava bhakti, and last two belong to prema bhakti. That is the division of these six characteristics. So this is the prema bhakti which actually attracts Krishna. Because prema is the infinite potency of the Lord. That is Radhani Shakti. And that is what gives pleasure to Krishna. That is what attracts Krishna. Krishna is not attracted by external presence, only by Radhani Shakti. There are two divisions in Veda. One division is Upasana Kanda, also Jnana Kanda, Bhojana Veda. Another is Karma Kanda. Now according to Karma Kanda, Karma Kanda is following the process according to the Vedas. And if one follows the process, then Lord gives him award. Because he has studied in the Vedas. So, like Daksha, he also had vision of the Lord. But that was not by pure devotion, because right after that you see what he did. So that is by the process of Karma Kanda. Because this fear is not enough, but actually attracting him. So he becomes attracted means to someone actually follows him. As Krishna said in Bhagavatam, he said, I am following behind my devotees. So that when they walk, then the dust from their feet will fall on my head. And that is my power, that I maintain this universe. Otherwise, he says, well, how can I get power to do all this work? So that is actually his attraction. So that cannot be attained by those people. Here, Krishna was attracted. And that's why he saw his opponent. He said, Purnam Purusha. He saw Krishna in his complete manifestation along with all his energies. Means he saw Radharani, he saw all the gopis, he saw Vrindavan. That is the meaning of Purnam Purusha. So he realized it. Seeing is one thing. Krishna was almost seen like a real man. But there was not any iota of devotion involved in that. and that's why he could not understand, and he was trying to bind him with a rope, thinking that if I bind him, then this Pandava will lose him. So therefore, Jesus on the course, next verse, it says, Ashiyavanandu Bhartam Bhagavan Mukunda Muktim Dadati Karishis Mana Bhakti Yogam. He says, Bhagavan Mukunda or Krishna, no doubt, grants liberation to those who offer him real worship, but he never grants them Bhakti Yoga. So this is to show that this Bhakti Yoga, which means Prema Bhakti, is very rare. It is most rare thing actually. So he says he never grants it, means he gives but very rare, so rare that almost he never gives it. And mostly he says he gives liberation, even those people who are doing service to him. Mantam Bhagavan Mukunda. Mantam means granting service. The appeal to Krishna is Pranirita Samahita. The word Pranirita in that verse is discussing the first verse. Says samahita, that means perfectly poised, means completely absorbed in samadhi. Since we have been instructed earlier by Narada to recall the events of Krishna's lila by means of samadhi, so this order was given by Narada Muni to Vyas when they had the meeting. He says that samadhina anusmarata vichestitam, that you should meditate in samadhi and see the pastimes of the Lord, his activities, and then compile it. So therefore he followed that. And thus the word pranamita here means that his mind was completely fixed on Krishna.
Since worship is one of the most important forms of worship, how is it that one that worships Krishna doesn't get
because of the desires? People worship but they don't have freedom from the desires. They have desires, they even have desire to enjoy the Vaikuntha planet. So their liberation means only the liberation of going and living in Lord's planet, Sarupya, Salokya, Sarasti. That is not considered as Prema Bhakti. There is some involvement of desire in that, for oneself.
So does it mean that one can go to the spiritual
world without praying about it? Yeah. Why not?
It
is an advice that there are nothing to learn about it, but it is an advice that can't be. Harinam Sankirtan Golokera Premanam. This Prema Bhakti is only found in Vrindavan, not in Vaikuntha planet. There is no Prema Bhakti in Vaikuntha. That is also considered as Shuddha Bhakti. Don't confuse Shuddha Bhakti with Prema Bhakti. That's why Yogesham, he composed Preeti Sandarbha. He also composed Bhakti Sandarbha. After composing Bhakti Sandarbha, what is the meaning for Preeti Sandarbha? Because it says that Preeti is beyond Bhakti. Preeti is love. Means, I don't want anything except love. Nothing for myself. Atmasya Vapadaratam Tunastuva. So that was not known to people. That was brought by Mahaprabhu. So that is Raganuga. Now, next he explains this word Purna or complete in this verse, where it says that he saw Purna Purusha. What is the meaning of the word Purna Purusha? Because all the incarnations are Purna. Whether it is Matsya or Kurma or Vamana, they are all Purna Purusha. But Jiva Swami explains here that this word Purna Purusha is referring only to Krishna. So he writes here that the word Puna, full or perfect, should be understood in its unrestricted sense based on the statement from the Uttar Khanda of the Padma Purana. He quotes a verse from Padma Purana explaining the meaning of Puna. So the words Bhagavat and Purusha are both free from limiting adjuncts and refer to Vasudeva, the self of all. And the fact that the Puna Purusha mentioned here refers to Bhagavan himself is also verified by Sridhar's commentary in the following verses. In first, there are different meanings given to the words. Mainly you can divide them into two categories. There is a primary meaning or chief meaning, and then the secondary meaning. So it is explained that the world has potency, like a horse. So if you allow the horse without the reins, you let it run at its full potency, that gives the primary meaning of the word. But you can also restrict him by the ropes, and then his potency becomes restricted. So when the potency of a word is restricted like that, that gives secondary meaning. So this verse which is quoted from Padma Purana says that the word Purusha, now this word Purusha, you know Purusha means a person. So there are so many persons. We are also persons, and then there are Purusha avatars. But it says that the chief meaning, unrestricted sense, Purusha refers to Vasudeva. So that's why sometimes it's called Parama Purusha or Purna Purusha, just to differentiate it from the other Purusha. But actually speaking, the word Purusha already refers to Krishna, Vasudeva. And this is confirmed by this verse. And then he further confirms this by giving the commentary of Sridhar Swami on verses from 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, 9 and 10. These are famous verses which speak about the various types of worship of different demigods. Kam kama yajet soma makamam purusham param akama sarva kamava moksha kama udarani. So in this verse, this word Purusha comes twice. First it comes Kam Kama Yajet Somam Akamam Purusham Param. That means the desire of material happiness. There is some mistake here. It says the desire of desire. It should be the desire of material happiness should worship Soma, and the desireless one, the Supreme Purusha. And then the high-minded ones, whether free from desires, desiring all or desiring liberation, should worship the Supreme Purusha with intense bhakti yoga. According to Sridhar's commentary, the term Purusha from the first of the two preceding verses signifies the Paramatma whose soul limiting adjunct is prakriti, while the same term from the second verse refers to the Purna Purusha, free from all limiting adjuncts or conditions. So Sridhar Swami also explains that this Param Purusha which is mentioned here has two different meanings. The first time it means to the super soul. Now super soul is not the complete manifestation of the personality of Godhead, because he has its limitation by material energy. He is limited to this material realm. Now this limitation is not that he becomes covered by material nature, but he is supervising the activities of material nature, and when he supervises something, he also becomes limited to that area. So not completely unrestricted. But when it comes to the next verse, and so it is very clear when you relate a Purusha Param, there is Sridhar Swami says that this word Purusha is referring to the Purna Purusha, which was used in the verse explaining the Samadhi of Vyasa, Apastat Purnam Purusha. So this is supported by Sridhar Swami. Why? Because this Purna Purusha is free from any contact with mental energy. Lord Krishna does not control this mental energy directly. He is not in direct contact with this mental energy. He is completely free from any contact with it. So that is complete manifestation of the Lord. Super soul is there. Bhagavan himself takes the role of super soul there. So therefore he says that the spiritual purusha is referring to the self-same personality of Godhead, the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. Because he is completely free from anything, any limitation from that. Now this analysis continues in the next section, 31. In some readings of Bhagavatam, instead of word human, word purnam is used. That means instead of saying apasyat purusham purnam, it says apasyat purusham purvam. So therefore Guru Goswami writes, even if the reading purnam is accepted for purnam, still Lord alone is indicated. Based in the etymological interpretation of Stuti, which derives the essential nature of the purusha from his statement, I existed here even prior to the universe. So we will say that even if we use the word purvam, that also has the same meaning, because the word purvam literally means before. So it indicates that Lord, he existed before anything else. And that means even before the purusha incarnation. Because super soul manifestation is also temporary. It is not permanent manifestation. But personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, he exists before everything. And that's how Chatushloki brings Bhagavatam. He says that in the beginning I was there. And I was afterwards there. In the beginning I was there. And in the end I will remain. And in the middle time there is all this manifestation. So he says, therefore this word Purvam, and he quotes this quote from the Vedas, Purvam Yaya Iham Aham Asam and Tat Purusha Purushattvam. This is the essential characteristic of the Purusha, that he exists before everything else. Adi Nanagar Govinda, he is causeless. Means there is nothing before him. There is no cause before him. That is the meaning of Purvam. And that is only Krishna. And this he explains in Bhagavad Gita also. I am Sarvasya Prabhava. I am the source of everything. You have to speak clearly, loudly.
You mentioned that the
temporary does not mean destruction. Temporary means change. Just like this mental world is also temporary, but it is also eternal. So, super soul is there in somebody's heart, but when the person becomes liberated, then he goes to the spiritual planet, then that manifestation of the super soul merging into other super soul, because there is no need for him now. Or at the time of total annihilation, when all the living entities are taking rest inside Karna, Daksha, Vishnu, then all the individual manifestations of the super soul don't exist. So in that sense it is temporary. But that doesn't mean that super soul does not exist at all. Anything which exists can never not exist. Just remember that. And so even the scientists say that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So something which exists will always exist, and something which does not exist will never exist. This is the principle which is given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Nasta vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate svatah. But the existence, how it exists, doesn't change. But it will always exist. Then he says that it is self-evident that the phrase he, Vyasa Sara Purusa, means that he saw him endowed with his Swarup Shakti alone. Just as when someone says he saw the full moon, it is understood that he saw the moon endowed with all its effulgence. So this is another point. Now he is analyzing every word of these verses and bringing out the whole philosophy from this. Now he says that he saw Purna Purusa, or full personality of Godhead. What is the meaning of full or Purna? So that means along with his Swarup Shakti. So just like when you see a full moon, you cannot see the moon without the moon rays. Whenever you see a full moon, you are bound to see the moon rays.